It's going to be serious. Today is the 21st of February, 2019. Tes Zayin Adar Aleph, Tef Shinayin Tes. And, okay. Oh, that's quite a trip. All right, so we have to Mefarshim Day of Yotes. Now, it's interesting. There are the Mefarshim are somewhat top heavy over the course of this parak. There's much to be said about the introduction, the idea of Paraduma, the idea of Zoschukas HaTorah, and it gets a little more thinned out as you get to the explanation of the halachos themselves. So you know that's the Mefarshim. For this year we go where the Mefarshim lead us. So here we go. Commentators. Perish is a commentator, so the Mefarshim are those who commentate. Comment on the parsha. So here we go. So Vayidbar Hashem L'Shem Aaron L'Emor. So Zos Chukas HaTorah. So the Ramban first, as often does, quotes Rashi. Right, blessed the Satan Umas Olam will mock Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, he has to say that it was a chuk ahead of time, as we understand. So Kvar Kasa. So then he adds in, however. Ukvar kasafti, however, of the Seir Mishaleach. I write with regards to the Seir Mishaleach. What was the Seir Mishaleach? What do we call that more regularly? The Azazel, the Seir Azazel, right? The scapegoat, the one being thrown off the side of the cliff. So, if you recall, there is a long Ramban over there where he discusses that, how it seems like it's an offering to the Satan and in ways that, right? So he mentions that here as well. Matam leumos sheyu modemoso abezos yosher mishar karbanos sheyichapru v'yish mehem sheyitaru kekarbanos zabi oledus. What is the reason that they're going to mock us more than other karbanos, right? Where that we gain a kapara from, and there are also some karbanos that allow us to have a kapara, such as that for a zavani oledus. What's the big deal? So he says, ki b'yifnei hayosen nasis b'chutz. Because this one is the only one being done outside the base of Migdash. There's nothing unusual about going into a temple and seeing sacrifices being done, right? You could do that all the time these days. They wouldn't have found that odd, but the part that they found odd is doing it out across the valley from the base of Migdash. Be'emet shehi lahavi ruach tuma v'srifasa kareach nichoach b'chutz. And the truth is, the idea is to remove the spirit of Tuma, and its burning is kareach nichoach b'chutz, like a pleasant aroma outside. Fine. So then he adds in, v'tam tumas emes. Now, keep in mind, this is a paraduma only works for tumas emes. It doesn't work for any other types of Tuma, and all other types of Tuma will have no need for the paraduma. So if a tam tumas emes, the itav shel nachash has to do with the bite of the snake. Can yiftarim b'nishika lo yitamu min hadin, v'hu she'amru tzadikim inam mitamin. Because those that leave b'nishika, what does it mean that those that leave b'nishika? Nishika is the kiss. So who dies by way of the bite of the snake? Almost everybody. Who dies not by bite of the snake? The tzaddik, right? So he says this has to do with the bite of the snake, because those that die by way of neshika actually don't become tameh. And this is the source for the idea of Husha Amru tzaddikim einan mitamin. And that is the source for the idea that tzaddikim, the righteous people, don't actually become tameh. So that's an interesting... that's the assumption. Now, the Gemara itself mentions that. I don't believe there's any, most posts can accept any practical ramifications from that idea, although there are some that are out there. So there are, you may have hear about a Kohen going to Uman and going, right, or a Kohen leading davening at Maras HaMachpelah. There's one Kohen who did Birchas Kohenim over, you know, for everybody. So those things happen. How could that happen? So it might be based on this, it would be based on this concept, but most don't agree with that application of that concept. Anyways, so there are kachamar kasa zoskukas haTorah, kolomar hanich kekes min haTorah v'Torah shebalpeh, that it is a portion of the Torah, and it's the meaning of the Torah shebalpeh, The idea that being a cow and that being a duma, that being red, is based on the idea that it's a midas adim. And it was given to Eliezer, it should be done in front of him, even by way of a non-Kohen. But the skan still got to be there, even though it doesn't even have to be done by a Kohen. The shechita doesn't have to be done by a Kohen. It sounds like even the burning and all the other things don't have to be done by a Kohen. It has to be done in the presence of a Kohen. What is the need for the presence of a Kohen? So the Rambam says, yeah, he's just got to make sure that everybody's got the right kavanos so that they're not doing it for avodah zarah. Because when you're doing a korban like that out there in the field, so one could have the wrong kavanos, so the Kohen's going to be there to make sure that everything is done b'seder. Yes?
There's a Kohen that goes out with the
Azazel,
is that what you're saying?
No. Here, by the Paraduma. Right, that's the Elazar is going to go on. Now, why Elazar, not the Kohen Gadol? So the Ramban will cover that shortly. So then the Ramban just adds in, and by the way, why is it here? Why is the Parsha here in this section of the Torah? It says, the Parsha says, Tashlim Torah's Kohanim, the Necht of Akan, Achar Matnos Kuhuna. It's included in the rules of the Kohanim, or concludes the rules of the Kohanim. It's written here, after the gifts of the kahuna. Lomar shegam tarasan shel Yisrael ayidei kohen tiyah. That also the tara, the purity of Israel, is going to be based on the idea of the kohen, and that's why, according to the Ramban, this parsha is put in this particular spot. So that is the way, that is the mention of the Ramban. Now the Sforno is generally relatively short comments throughout the parsha. In this case, he has a long essay that he just puts in the beginning where he raises, I think in total, 6 questions over the whole issue of the Paraduma. And he says, so what are some of the questions? What do we got here? He says, number one, Kimatzinu Rishon, the first thing we find, Shekol Ha'oskim Ba'me'esri Fasim Ve'elach Tmeim, that all those that are involved with it, in the time of burning and onwards, they become tamei. Behim hasorif b'hamashlich eitz erez ve'zov shnitzel las b'srei fasa. Ba'osef anugeya b'hanose. Right, the person who throws the ingredients in and the strings and ba'osef anugeya b'hanose, and the one who gathers it and who touches it and carries it. Amnam, and we ran into this problem the other day. Amnam hamaze v'hamikadesh heim tahorim. Right, the one who actually sprinkles it, he actually remains tahor, right? So we had this problem the other day. So as we read in the Torah, and I assume that seems to be pshat in the pasuk, and Bruce said, no! Right? So Sforno is just clarifying. Yes, it's still a problem, right? But in the text I also looked up, the technical language of the Gemara is not the person who is coming, is the person whose tummy is becoming tahor, and the one who is being the taher him becomes tameh. Right? It's not true. The person who is involved in the tahara process up to that point is the one who's going to become, all of those other people become tameh. Yes, it is. It could be a Mythbusters shear.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. So that's number one. Shenis. That the main rule of the para is that it be fully red. And it's already explained in the Navi that the chait is compared to red, as it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, that Yuchatayim Kesharim Keshel Yabiyu, and therefore, when we learn in Yuma, Shayu Kosherim, as they would tie the lashon, the scarlet the thread over the front of the door, and it would turn white, they would be happy. Right. So, what does that have to do with this? That's question two of the Sforno. Number three, royally spun should be as kol ameris alo trufa, that everything that is said should be proven. That's pasuk in Mishlei. He believes suffik mishra samasim al hamitzua. Okay. He called echad mishnei haktavus nimas, that the two, we know that the two extremes. Oh, sorry. That the best idea he believes suffik misharis hamasim el hamitzua. That the straight, you want to make your paths, your actions in the middle. He called echem mishnei aksavos nimas. That the two extremes are generally nimas, are mias, are disgusting, as the pasuk tells us in Mishlei. Minekash drachim yipol ba'achas. That a crooked road will make you fall to one side. Okay, so what's going on here? Where are you going with two extremes? What are the two extremes? So I thought he explains it here, but Yeah, that's the next line. Revius number four is Roy Lisbonish in Derech Neus Vahayasher Etzanekash Drachim Lashiva Elam Mitzua. That the best way of going straight is to right, the only way to get back to the straight path, Zulasi Bahatoso Al Katsa Hafcha. You have to bend it to the other extreme, right? If you have a metal bar that's bent, so in order to get it back to the middle, so you bend it all the way the other way, and then hopefully it ends up in the middle. That's what I always have to do with my glasses. Then I got rid of them. But so Kamo Shiyikra Bechalye Haguf, as it talks about with illness with regards to people. But the pasuk says, Chaburos Petza Tamuros Bara, that the in order to, when you have an illness or a wound, so you have to cleanse it with something that is bad. I mean, you use alcohol, or I think what he's referring, it's a pasuk initially, but you use alcohol, which burns, in order to cleanse the wound. Even though the thing that you're using to clean it is the other, is also not good for you, right? That's in order to find your way in the middle. Similarly, hatrufa hamishalshelas. Anybody know what a trufa hamishalshelas is? A trufa is a pill. Hamishalshelas, shilshel, right? A laxative. Trufa hamishalshelas. A laxative, shetoel, I'm not sure. If you ask for that in Israel, I'm not sure what you would get. But the Ramban is referring to a laxative. All right, shetoel l'chola v'tazik l'bria. That it is helpful to the ill person, but it is damaging to the healthy person. So so number five, then he says, is that Roy Lisbonin, that we can understand or think about, Shein Inyan La'afar Hapara, Betara Shum Min Mimini Hatumos, that the idea that there is, that you use the ashes of the para to purify, that there is no, and it seems to have nothing to do with the tumos, Zulasi Betara Mitumas Mes, with any other tumos, other than the Tara of Tumas Mes. That the mitzvah of the Torahs are living mitzvahs that one should be involved in. As we say, that day is their life. And somebody who leaves them, so they're going to be lost and they're going to be sent to death, etc. As we say, that Rishayim, even while they're alive, are still going to be considered dead. And then number six, he says, royally spon mashamu sheitz erez yore al hagaiva, that the idea of the cedar has represents the idea of gaiva, of arrogance, by ez of yora al hafecha, and the idea of the hyssop is always weeping over, right? That's the idea of humility. So you're putting the two of them together. Right? So if you go either way, if one is too humble or if one is too arrogant, so you're going to be sinning either way. So you put the two of them together. So you see, that's where the Sforno is driving at, that we're taking, when it comes to the paradum, we're taking extremes and pushing them together to find, to get back to the middle. Okay, so then we skipping somewhat, and then he says in the middle, Hine yeshva eze remez l'derech hatshuva tzitzel cholchet. So there are hintings over the course of the parsha of the Paraduma, she amlam shita el ketzei hefech masav hatmeim kolev tahor. That it is a way of going to the edge, and that will purify a person. L'man yasik derech hamitzu v'itar, in order to find the central path. V'zeh derech im hayosu tov hamitar l'chote. And this is the way that is good and purifies for the sinner. Hu amlam menuga v'ra u'metame kolev tahor, and it will purify and make better all those that are pure. As we say, v'chi v'ezen nefesh cheta, a person, elish etzir as min hayayin. Now, what sin did he do? That he stayed away from wine, which is having to do with the nazir. So that's the Sforno, that's what the Sforno is driving at, that this is a demonstration of the idea of tshuva, that sometimes in order to do tshuva on something, one has to go to the other extreme. What is the problem with that mahalach? Right, the problem with that mahalach is that who says that tuma has to do with chait, right? So he says, right? I mean, did he say it in the beginning? Not really. Yeah, it was the Ramban who was saying that has to do with the bite of the snake, etc. Maybe. But you have to take a couple of steps in order to get to the idea that it's representing chait. So it's a little problematic. I don't understand that, but that is his Sforno, and that's his also developing some of the difficulties that are involved in the parsha of the Paraduma. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. So you can plug in the Ramban, where the Ramban says that death has to do with the original sin. That that because of the bite of the snake, so therefore we all die eventually. But if it really has to do with tshuva, I would much rather connect it to a sin. Right? This is the way to get tshuva from a sin. To pick a sin. I don't know. One who's over the avodah zarah. So in order for him to come back and serve in the Beis HaMikdash again, he needs to do the parazuma. It's hard to imagine having to do with tuma, especially when it often is a mitzvah to become tamei. Right? So it's a bit challenging. Unless you just say, well, it has to do with death. That death is the whole idea that there's death in the first place has to do with tuma. And we'll probably get into later, but today's Thursday already, so I guess next week, Rav Soloveitchik talks about that the idea that Zoschu Kasatora, that the ultimate chok is that there is such a thing as death. And that's what this parsha is about, and that's actually why it's placed here. We'll get to that later. Okay. Vas? Well, tomorrow's halacha day. Okay, so as we get to, the next Ramban, we'll get back to the Orach Chaim if we have time. The next Ramban I found interesting. What's the story of giving it to Elazar? Why are we giving it to the Skan Kohen Gadol? So Rashi said that it says mitzvah, it sounds like mitzvah, bisagen, with the Skan, with the assistant. That's why. Why give to him? Because the Kohen Gadol should become Tamei, right? Because the Kohen Gadol has to be available to do Avodah. What's the problem with that? It's not true, right? Why does the Kohen Gadol have to be available to do the Avodah? Does the Kohen Gadol, I don't, I know Kippur he does, right, okay. What?
He's not
going to
become Tomei, because it says that he takes it out.
Well, no, one second. First of all, he does. He takes the blood and sprinkles it towards. Okay, that's in Pasuk Salad. Right, the spritzer does.
I hope the spritzer doesn't get.
No, not the spritzer of the water, spritzer of the blood. Right, you would take some blood and sprinkle it towards. That's Pasuk Dalet. Right, Pasuk Dalet is he takes the blood and sprinkles it towards the Ol Moed, which, by the way, is done by Korban Chatas. This idea of the sprinkling, what's that reminiscent of? On Yom Kippur. Right, where he does that. So that has to do with the Korban Chatas. Right, so that's a connection. So I'm not. I would think so. It also says in Pasuk Vav that he's the one who needs to take the treat. Now, I'm not sure if it's true, other than maybe in this case he did. I'm not sure if that's Ma'akiv or not. And then it says V'tameh HaKohen Ad Ha'aretz. That's in the end of Pasuk Zayin.
He said he becomes everybody that assisted up to the place.
Right. No, I thought for a moment that maybe the Kohen, other than looking on, doesn't need to do anything. But it seems from the he's just there to look, to watch. What? Right, now I'm looking back and I see that there are things that the Pasuk prescribes specifically for a Kohen to do. But so Rashi says, anyways, this is for the Skan Kohen. Now, I don't even know if the Skan Kohen is an official position from the Torah. I mean, I know we have them, but I'm not sure it's not like there's a, you know, in America you have to have a president and a vice president by constitution. Right? I'm not sure the Torah demands that there be a Skan Kohen. Does it have to be a vice president? What happens if the president what happens if the vice president dies? If the president dies, so the vice president becomes president, who becomes vice president?
The speaker of the...
No, the speaker is next. The speaker is next is next in line.
There's
no vice president?
Until the next election.
Wow. Huh. I didn't realize that.
The speaker is the next
in line.
What are the duties of the vice president?
No, I know, but the duties, in theory, duties is to be backup, so.
Yeah, he's about 100 feet away from the president.
Okay.
His job.
Right, so there's...
So this week on the House is in
okay.
That position.
Uh-huh. So no one could get nominated or... Okay.
Uh-huh. So who sprinkles the ashes on the tummy?
The dude.
The water. Not the ashes.
The water ashes. That guy. A dude. Well, I don't know anybody, but
I'm sure there's a family history.
I'm sure it'll be a nice donation. I don't know. I don't think it just says Viasak Ish Tahor. No, that's Pasuk Tes. I'm giving you that bow. Okay. Just says it's a tougher person. I don't know if it maybe it could even be female. Maybe can't. I don't know. Let's take a look. What? Maybe there's going to be a kata. I don't know. Do you need to have kavana? Maybe. I don't know. So why the skan? So the Ramban says, however, in kavana lomer shaya chiyuv hamitzvah b'skan yosmi kon galol kohen hedyot. The Ramban says, well, hold on. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a mitzvah for the skan more than the kohen galol or more than the kohen hedyot. Rather, it was a horasha that first para, that first red cow, that had to be done by Eliezer, and he was the skan. And he quotes from the Sifrei. The Sifrei is the Medrash. Right, you know that it has to be done by the Skan because Aaron is still alive, and yet Eliezer is the one who did it. And it was done by Eliezer and the other Paros. The Kohen Gadol did. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer, and Yaakov Omer. No, Zunasid Beliezer, Sharkal Paros, Beim Kohen Gadol, Beim Kohen Hedyot. The other ones held no. It could be the Kohen Gadol, it could be the Kohen Hedyot. So it's machlokas for subsequent Paros whether it had to be the Kohen Gadol, as Rabbi Meir said, or the other ones all held that it could be either one, Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyot. Okay, so why here then does the Torah make a big deal about being Eliezer? So Ramban gives three reasons. Eliezer. Why, by the way, so one of the reasons we already mentioned is Sisei Chachamim, but that's only the third reason the Ramban gives. It says, Lo Nasa La'aron, he says, V'ulai, Hulig Dulaso, Q Kadosh Hashem V'chasidu, V'chakar B'mikdasho, V'lo Ratzel Litein L'avodus Chutz. Because Aaron is like really special, and we don't want to make him leave the base of Mikdash. So, interesting. Now, you could say that would be universal for all other Kohen Gadols as well, but the Ramban seems to not do that. Just like Aaron is really, really, really special. So he's not going to be involved in anything that makes him exit the camp, but we'll send the Lazar instead. Number one. Okay, hold on. I'm reading the Ramban right now. So that's number one, answer the Ramban gives. Now, answer number two, he says, Oh, haya lahachtir Eliezer ulachancho b'chai aviv b'mitzvah achas min ha-mitzvah shel kehuna gedula. That maybe it was to get Eliezer ready. This is good training for him, that we're going to give him one of the Kohen Gadol mitzvahs to do. That's a bit of a problem, because it only works according to one of the opinions, that this actually is a mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol. But do that as it may, that's it, two of the run. The number three is how Lenosh Egel Kedivrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Maybe it is a punishment because he was involved in the Chet Egel, and there is a reading of the Paraduma that the entire thing is to be Mechaper, is to gain atonement for the Chet Egel, and therefore it would be inappropriate for him to be the Kohen in charge. Okay. Okay, all right, let's cover one more thing, and maybe we have time for the Rechaim, I'm not sure. Yeah, the Or HaChaim also in Pasuk He, before we get to the last Ramban, in Pasuk He it says, V'saraf s'parale, not even burn the para, es v'saravias dama, the skin and the basar and the dama, al pirsha yisrov, on its dung. So I was interested about the al pirsha, but I didn't see anything about it. At least on the page, but the Or HaChaim just makes a comment that, by the way, how did they burn the para? Did they burn it whole? They burn it, what did they do? So the Or HaChaim said you had a choice. Chazal lomer yisrof, it says yisrof in that pasuk twice. It's the saraf is a para le'inav, and at the end it says al pirsha yisrof. So why did they have to say yisrof twice? So Or HaChaim comes and tells you, teaching you halacha. Chazal lomer, it's coming you back to tell you, It's not enough that it says Saraf in the beginning. Why? Because the pasuk is giving us two possibilities. One is they would just burn the entire para whole. The second possibility is after they would skin it and clean it, I guess. They would burn that also. So it's unclear whether you had a choice of either burning it whole or burning it in pieces. Not sure why you would choose one over the other. That's what the Or HaChaim gives you. And then one more Ramban here. The Ramban in Pasuk Tezayin, well, two Ramban. One at the end of Pasuk Tezayin, he just adds in, he says, V'nachma v'nusenu tamei hagalus v'lo yadanu b'taras hakodesh. That Nebuchadnezzar, in our sins, we are Tamei in Gullus, And we don't know what it means to be Tara. We don't know what it means to be Tawar. Ad Yera Aleinu Ruach Mimarom, the Yizro Kashem Aleinu Mayim Tahor Vinitar. Until the wind comes from the Marom, is the east, south, I guess. The Yizro Kashem Aleinu Mayim, and Hashem will pour upon us the purifying waters, and we'll become Tahor. Amen. V'chein yihi ratzon b'mehirah v'yameinu. That's what Rambam concludes. All right. Amen. So those two should be, and it should happen very soon. Now, the Rambam seems to be alluding to that Hashem will be sprinkling. Is that necessary? If we find the paraduma, can we? Is it something that we need the Beis Hamikdash even to exist for? I think it's unclear. Okay, and then finally, the Ramban in Pasuk Yud Zayin also has been Asan Alav Mayim Chayim El Keli. So here he describes the actual way it took place. Einin Yano Sheitin Ha'Afer B'Kli Tchila V'Yitin Mayim Al Ha'Afer. It can't be that they're putting in. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, V'Lachula Tamei Me'Afar Sreifas Achatas V'Nasan Alav Mayim Chayim El Keli. We're going to take for the tummy person the ashes from the burnt chatas, the paraduma. Why it's called a chatas, by the way, is an interesting question. Then asana love, we're going to put on it, mayim chayim el keli. This water, this rushing water, the living water, into the kli. So the Ramban says, you just hold on a second, you use some Torah Shabbal Peh here, because there's a Gemara in the Sechah Sota that says that you can't put the water, you can't put the ashes in first. Why? Because the Gemara learns out, shenosein ofar tchila v'achar chamayim pasul, that if you put the ashes in first and then you put the water in on top of it, pasul. Diktitu mayim chayim el keli shetei chiyusam b'kli. The Gemara learns out that the water, mayim chayim, the water has to go into the kli, and has to go directly into the kli, and there can't be anything that's going to be hefsik, there can't be anything that's going to be in the middle. So v'ulai, says b'vdei shalo amr v'lachul et mayim farsh v'ar sartas el kli, v'nasan alav mayim chayim. About perusho, the way you did it is, v'nasan al hafar mayim chayim sheyu b'kli. That you will put onto the Benasan al ha'afar mayim chayim shayu b'kli, that you're going to put onto the dust, onto the ashes, water that is already in the kli. How does that work? So lomar shi aref ha'afar b'mayim shebekli atshiyu mayim tafin alav, that you're going to mix the afar with the water until the water is on top of it, until the water flows on top of it. So that's actually the way it was done, says the Ramban, that you would put the water in first, then you would put in the ashes on top of it, and then you would shake it around in order to do it. So when I did my mitzvah fair project, and we had to do our demonstration for the judges, so that's what we did. We had some ashes before from some, you know, newspapers that I, from New York Times that we burnt the previous day, and then what?
Not from our own cow.
Yeah, no, that was too expensive. So we. And then we had water in our bowl, and we poured the water in, and we put the ashes on top, and we mixed it around. And that was our paraduma project. Okay, maybe I'll stop here.